radiallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who performs itikaf remains free from sins, and he is indeed given the same reward as those who do righteous deeds, in spite of not having been able to do those deeds as a result of having been secluded in the masjid. Note that the one remaining secluded in the masjid is not allowed to leave the masjid for any worldly needs. He may only set out to outside for the call of nature, to make wudu or ghusl, or for attending Jummah, if Jummah Salah is not performed in the same masjid, after which he must return forthwith. This hadith points out to two great benefits of itikaf. Firstly, one in the masjid is in itikaf, is safe from sin. It is true that very often happens that one falls into sin without even intending to do so, because why, the world around us is full of temptations. So to commit sin in the blessed month of Ramadan is indeed a great injustice to ourselves. By remaining in itikaf in the masjid, one completely avoids the temptation to sin. Secondly, it would appear outwardly that if one is in itikaf in the masjid, then he is automatically at a disadvantage because of not being allowed to perform certain good deeds like going for janazah salah or going for burials, etc., visiting the sick. This is not so, because according to the hadith, one is rewarded for these deeds even though he is not performing them. What a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How great is Allah's bounty. By performing ibadah, one receives the reward of numerous other ibadahs which he did not even perform. In fact, Allah ta'ala seeks the slightest cause to bestow his blessings. His blessings could be received in abundance with a little effort and plea, if only we can understand and properly appreciate these favors. The proper appreciation and understanding can only enter our minds and our hearts when we have the true love and interest in our deen. Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In Surah Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of one incident which we did mention a year before. It's a test that Allah ta'ala puts certain people through. Now, whenever Allah ta'ala sends a Nabi or his message to any nation, then if they accept it, alhamdulillah, there is only going to be goodness for them. And if they object and they reject and they start troubling the Nabi, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does first thing, he sends down a whole lot of difficulty on them. So the difficulty comes in the form of drought, in the form of sickness, in the form of scarcity and poverty and, you know, every kind of difficulty. If they still come right after that, then alhamdulillah. If they don't come right after that also, then Allah ta'ala changes it. He gives them a whole lot of goodness. He opens the doors of a lot of favors on them. And then they think everything is so nice, everything is right for us, Allah is happy with us. And when they are lost in this and drowning in all the comforts and the wealth and the abundance, which they thought is the pleasure of Allah ta'ala coming on them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down his punishment on them. So that is a dangerous thing. So likewise, we find the people of Makkah troubled Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeatedly. And to such an extent that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he made dua. He said, Allahumma sinin kasinin Fir'aun. That Allah send upon them the drought as you send on the people of Fir'aun. I'm not sure of the name. Any case, so that drought that came down on the people of Makkah was so bad that there was no food. And they were eating carrion. And they were going through a great amount of difficulty. And they knew that it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dua upon them, that because of them continuously troubling him and troubling the Muslimin, getting in the cause of deen, troubling the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to harass it. So then this dua came down upon them. So when this particular drought came, it became so bad that they had nothing. So Abu Sufyan came to Medina and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, man, you know, at the end of the day, we are related to you. Those are all your relatives also there, and this and that. All they were mushrikeen, but obviously because of the lineage. So please make dua, get that now. Please make dua that Allah Ta'ala releases us. First they were causing so much of difficulty, now we come back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask for help. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua, he was rahmatul alameen. Now Allah says this was a test that was put on the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen. So Allah says we have tested them like how we tested the people of the garden, the people of the orchard. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah. Now this was a group of people, this was a family. They were in Yemen. It said about 12 or 10 kilometers out of the city of Sana'a. This old man here, he had a beautiful orchard and a garden. And he had a good good way of doing things. He was pious in his way. And what he was doing was he's to help the poor people. So what he's to do is to get his crop at the end of the year. One part is to put back into the field. The little is to take out for what his family needed. And excess is to give it all out to the poor. So every year the poor is to be waiting. He's waiting when this man's crop is going to get ripe. And when is the day when he's going to distribute. So it was an event for them. It was a great event for them. And so he passed away. When he passed away, the children, their whole niyat got, you know, kharab, they say, their niyat got bad. They say, our father was giving away too much. He's not supposed to give all this away. That is, you know, we can keep it all and we can get rich. So what they decided is, we're not going to, when the time for the harvest comes, before the poor people can line up there, we go, we clean it out and we take it away and they don't see anything. So this was the niyat they made, and this is how they tried to, you know, now stop the mercy of Allah coming on those poor people. So one of them from among the two brothers or three brothers, whatever it was, he says, no, man, I don't think we should do this. Not the right thing. So always in the family, you get that one good insan. You know, one brother is a bit soft, some are hard. So he says, don't do this, man. Not right. Our father shouldn't do like this. But they overpowered him, and so they nevertheless went. So early in the morning, so at night, they made the mashura. And early in the morning they got up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at night they said, we're going to go and, you know, do this, we're going to clean out the harvest. And Allah said, they didn't even say inshallah. So they went. Early in the morning, Allah says, فَانْتَلَقُوهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُمْ, whispering among themselves, quietly, going quickly. But what they didn't realize is because they made a niyat the previous day. Now look at the power of a bad niyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَطَافَ عَلَيْهَا طَائِفٌ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَهُمْ نَائِمٌ فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. That Allah says that overnight, a visitor visited their orchard, their garden. The visitor was a form of the azab. It came down and it destroyed their garden. فَأَصْبَحَتْ كَالصَّرِيمِ. That in the morning it looked like something that was, you know, a farmland that was totally cleared out. You know, after everything is blacked off and it is harvested, how you put fire to it, destroyed totally. So when they came to their farm, according to the books of Tafsir, they saying, which one is our farm? Not this one. They started looking. They thought their farm was that one, somewhere else, because everything was gone. Their farm had green, lush vegetation. So you know, you come there, you see your whole place is burnt up. Then they realized, no, this is our place. And when they came to realize that, then they realized that we did wrong. So immediately, then, we were off the track. What we did was wrong. They realized it at them. But نحن محرومون. We are the ones who have been deprived. We were trying to deprive the poor people. We were thinking that we're going to take away their share. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who deprives whomsoever he wants to. We must always keep that in mind. So the قال أوسطهم, that good brother amongst them, the one who's a bit more reasonable, see, ألم أقول لكم لولا تسبحون, did I not tell you that you must make this be glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We shouldn't be doing things like that. He was the one good one. His words have been actually quoted in the Quran. Now they said Subhan Rabbina. Now they started saying Subhanallah, we're making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna kunna zalimin. And then فَأَغْوَلَا بَعْضُهُمْ أَلَا بَعْضِ يَتَلَاهُمْ. They all started blaming each other. That's what happens. It was your fault. Why did you say that? And why you didn't say it? Why, you know, no. When things go wrong, عَسَىٰ رَبُّنَا يُدَّلَنَا خِيرًا مِّنْهَا إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا رَبِّنَا. They said, now we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perhaps, you know, give us a better fortune, he'll give us something better if we turn to our Allah. So this is a very great lesson. One is this ayat has been mentioned in the context of what I mentioned, a test and a punishment on some people, like how Allah says he punished the people of Makkah. He was sending this kind of a test on them and a kind of punishment. So they open up the eyes before it's very, very late. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times does not send any test and difficulty and punishment upon us, but at all times Allah keep our heart connected to Him, aware of Him, and let us from ahead do what is the right thing. And no, we must not be in any way doing anything that will incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Just mind the school. tape or listen to it? You guys all got your enough locations. He agreed with it.